So the Seder night begins with Avadim, not Avadim, pardon, Hilach Manya. That's what we learned about yesterday. That's the preface. That's kind of like the general introduction. And immediately afterwards, we push the Ka'ara, the Seder plate with the matzah aside, and we pour the second glass of wine. And at this point, the child asks, Manishtana. So the basic logic here is as follows. The Torah says, V'higadata levincha, you should tell your children. It's a mitzvah to tell your children. But the Torah also says, Ki yisholcha vincha, when your child will ask. And because the Torah says, when your child will ask, we have a range of opinions. From the most extreme is the opinion of the Rosh, which is found in his Shalos HaTshuvos, who says that if the child didn't ask the question, then you are not biblically mandated to respond. And inasmuch it would still be a mitzvah of V'higadata levincha, of telling the story, it would only be a mitzvah midrabanan, according to the Rosh. It would only be a biblical mitzvah. So according to the Rosh, in order for us to fulfill our mitzvah, we need to get somebody to ask a question. Because this has to be not a monologue, but a dialogue. This has to be a give and take. Now the Rosh is the only one of the Rishonim who hold like that. Most of the Rishonim hold that even if the questions aren't asked, and even if we can't provoke a question, we still have a mitzvah of V'higadata levincha. And nobody questions that, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, there's no doubt that this is the thing to do tonight. But nonetheless, even if we are to say that you fulfill the mitzvah, even if nobody asks, even if it's just a monologue, even if you just tell the story, it certainly would be appropriate, it would be the right thing to do, it would be a more effective way of telling the story if it was a give and take. Somebody would ask, and then we would respond. So from any which way you look at it, what we need to do is get the child to ask questions. And that's why we start off with the beginning of the little nibble and the vegetable we eat, the karpas, and the little dipping. So the child is thinking something is not right here. We make kiddush. Usually we now wash our hands. We washed our hands. We didn't make a bracha. Instead of eating bread, we nibble on a vegetable in just a little bit. Not supposed to eat a lot of vegetables, just a tiny bit. We finish nibbling, and then put that aside. And then he sees we reach for the matzah. I said, okay, this is a little different. And we make this whole, you know, statement, hey, lach ma'anya, talk about the bread. We don't usually talk about the bread. Today we're talking about the bread, and we've emphasized the bread. And then when we finish doing that, the child might think, okay, so we'll do a little talk about the bread, and then we're going to eat. And then the salkin akaira, now we're pushing the bread, the matzah, the food aside. And instead of eating the food, we're pouring another glass of wine. At this point, the child said, what in heaven is going on over here? And so he asks the question, and this is exactly what we wanted to happen, Kan, Haben Shoyel, here the child asked the question. It's our custom that even the adults ask this question in an undertone, quietly. And even if one doesn't have parents that are alive, terrestrially alive, we still say, Tata, Chov de Fregen Fer Kashas. We say, Father, I want to ask you four questions, because really we address our Father in heaven. But let's talk about this now on a literal level. So take a look, you'll see it says, Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilis. Now that the Seder begins in earnest, with several simanim, with several signs, so to speak, into this evening. And in order to ensure that we fulfill the mitzvah of Magid properly, we have a dialogue created. The first big question, why is this night different from all others? That is an overarching question, a general question. And then we start going into the details. And you follow along in the Haggadah that we use, which was arranged by the Alter Rebbe. The first question is, B'chol ha'leilos, all the nights, Ein anu matbilin afilu pa'amechas. On all other nights, we don't do any dipping. No dipping that goes on. But the halayla hazeh shtei pamim. Tonight we're dipping twice. Once we dip the karpas into the salt water, and we already see that there's charoses prepared, and we kind of figured out that charoses is not going to be eaten, because that much charoses is not going to go around the table. And we know that usually when you have to eat something, you need a significant quantity. This is a Jewish event, after all. So you can't have a little tiny bit of charoses. So what's the little charoses there? The child figures it must be there for the purpose of dipping something into it. So he sees we dipped the karpas in salt water. We're going to be dipping something in this strange little mix. Have a seat, my friend. I'm sorry. Don't be sorry. Be happy. So he says, okay, we're going to be dipping this. This is so something's very different tonight. Halai laza shtei pum. We're going to be dipping twice. Grab a haggadah and follow along. In the middle of Manashtana. And then we have the second question. We may have crackers on the table. There's always bread on the table. Tonight, all we see is kulei matzah. And the third question is, Shabchol Alele is on Eichlam Shar Yerakis. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. There's a salad. A toss salad, this salad, that salad, this salad, there's vegetables. And tonight, we always see the only vegetable on the table really is murr. It's always a lot of that green leafy stuff. There's nothing else. There's no tomatoes, there's no hearts of palm, there's nothing else going on here. It's like a really boring salad. So he's like, what's going on? Why are we just eating, why only that strange looking lettuce? And then, Shabbachol HaLeilos on HaEichlam Ben Yeshem Mishulbim, every night we assume various postures, reclining or sitting. And tonight, everybody's Mesubin, everybody's reclining, so what's going on over here? That's the child asks these questions, and now he expects to have an answer. So what question did you ask me?
What is the significance of the questions?
What is the significance of the questions? That's an interesting question. What's a glaring question? Okay, so think back. Everybody knows Manishtana?
Absolutely.
Manishtana. Matzah. Matzah. Why would you ask matzah first? Because, what do you mean?
That's
the main thing. That's the biggest difference. It's the biggest item on the table. It's biblical. It's a mitzvah taseh min haTorah. If you didn't eat matzah tonight, you didn't do the mitzvah. What happens if you didn't dip the karpas on the night of Pesach? What'd you lose? A minhag. A custom. That's all. Just a custom. It's a custom that we do. And the reason that this custom was created was so that people would ask the question so we would be doing the right thing on the Seder night. But it's just a custom. There is no mitzvah of dipping any vegetables into salt water. And there isn't even a mitzvah of dipping the marah into charosas. It is but a custom. So why do we start with a custom? So in the Rebbe's Haggadah, he points out that although this seems odd to most of you because not the Haggadah you're used to, this is the order of the Manashtana as it's found in the Mishnah, in the Jerusalem Talmud, the iteration of the Jerusalem Talmud, the Rif, the Alphas, who was one of the greatest Sephardic sages, who compiled a halachic text in the order, following the order of the tractates of Talmud, the Rosh, who is another one of the great halachas. The three great halachas are Rambam, Rif, and Rosh. Those are the three primary foundations of all halacha. So we have the Rif, who has it in this order, the Rosh, who has it in this order, and guess what? So does the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch. What's the purpose of customs? Hold that thought. That's a very good question. So not only do we have the three major pillars of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, who have the Manashtan in this order, the Tur, who is the son of the Rosh, who wrote the forerunner of today's Shulchan Aruch, also had it in this order. Avudraham, Rabbi Avram ben David, another very, very important Rishon, who wrote halachic codification, especially on ritual that was holiday related and siddur connected, also writes it that way.
But, Rabbi, yeah? isn't the better question, though, why does karpas come before yachatz then? Because, I mean, that ordering isn't the ordering of the seder.
Ah, one second. You're asking that the reason we ask matbilin is because it comes in the order of the seder. Well, let me ask you a question back then. What's the first thing of these four questions? What's the first thing a child would have seen at the Seder?
The wine?
Yeah. So number one, we're going to ask that question soon. Why don't we ask a question about wine? But number two, how was the wine drunk? In reclining position. And if you didn't drink it in a reclining position, there's even an opinion you have to drink the wine all over again. So everybody was reclining. And surely the one who's at the head of the Seder said, everybody recline now. You know, it's like everybody dance now. No, everybody recline now. Let's do this right. So the first thing that the child saw was not dipping of karpas. Was the first thing the child saw. He saw reclining. So if it's the question of what the child saw first, the question should be not matbil and not dipping, but rather reclining. Where does reclining show up? Only at the end. The Zevach Pesach, authored by Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel, also has it that way. And then in case you think this is just halachic, we go now over to Kabbalah, the Pri Etz Chaim, which is the primary writings of the Arizal's teachings from Chaim Vital, the Siddur HaArizal, Mishnas Chasidim, which is another very important Kabbalistic doctrine, Ve'od. Furthermore, the first Haggadah that was printed, this is like a little trivia question, where was the first Haggadah printed? You should know this. I talked about it in one of the classes recently. Not in Midbar Sinai. Not in Persia, no. The printing press showed up first in Europe. The first Haggadah ever printed was printed in an Italian city called Sansino. Sansino. The year was 1485.
What did they do before that?
What did they do before that? They had handwritten Haggadahs. The first printed Haggadah. This is slightly after Gutenberg's Bible. Not long after Gutenberg. So in Sansino, in the first Haggadah ever printed, guess what order the Manashtana is? This order. Matbilin first, after that Chametz and Matzah, after that Mara, and only afterwards Mesubit. Okay, so number one, we kind of defended this position that this is not as such an anomaly as it seems. Actually, it has a very, very solid backing, solid foundation to have this order. So this is rather odd. That's the truth. What's the reason for this? Now, I do have to tell you that, you know, everybody thinks you have to ask four questions on the Seder night. It's actually not true. You don't have to ask. Halachically, you don't have to ask four questions. Even the Rosh, who's of the opinion that you have to ask, somebody has to ask questions, and then he has to be responded to, even the Rosh doesn't say it has to be four questions. If you ask one question, that would also be good. It gets ki yisholcha bincha. When your child asks, it doesn't say ki yisholcha bincha arba kushis. When your child asks four questions. And there are numerous iterations of the earlier Haggadahs that don't have four questions. Some of them only have two questions. And then we have the Rama with got five questions. Right? So there's a famous Vilna Gaon who wants to say that the question of Mesubin only shows up way after the Beis HaMikdash, because at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was still the typical behavior. Everybody used to eat in a reclining fashion. But the Rebbe actually demonstrates that this is not necessarily true. And he proves that the Rambam writes about five questions at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And what was the fifth question, by the way? Fifth question was about the roasted meat. That on every night of the year, we eat cooked and roasted. But tonight, it's just barbecue. And by the way, we're not outside. Most of the time, we're usually inside in the dining room. And the reason we have the tzli, according to the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, and according to Abarbanel, is because everything about the Korban Pesach is indicative of haste. It's the whole theme of Pesach. Ki b'chipazon yotzasa. You're left in haste. So what's the fastest way to prepare a nice dinner? Come on. West Canadians, we love our barbecue, right? Like, it's finally, you can actually go outside. Then it snows again. At some point, you actually can open the barbecue, and all summer long, we love just to come home and throw a steak in the barbecue, or fish on the barbecue, whatever. It's like the easiest way to cook. It's the quickest way to cook. When you're on the run, barbecue is the way to go. So it's a way of chipazon. And on the night of Pesach, you have to eat a Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach, it has to be eaten only roasted. So there was a fifth question. So lest you think that there has to be four questions, because there's four children and four questions, it's not true really. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, second temple, there were five questions. It doesn't have to be three questions or two questions or five questions. Questions have to be asked. But the question we're asking this morning is, for heaven's sake, why didn't you have it in a normal order? The right order, in principle, if you think about it from a logical perspective, is matzah is biblically mandated. That should come first. What comes next? Maror. Maror is the bitter herbs. The Torah does talk about maror. That's true. However, the Torah's discussion of maror talks about bitter herbs eaten together with matzah and roast beef or roast lamb. Korban Pesach. Because it says that the Korban Pesach should be eaten tzali, it should be eaten roasted, al matzos umerorim yochluhu. It should be eaten together with matzah and maror. And because it says it's supposed to be eaten with matzah and maror together, so therefore, logically, what should the matzah and maror, when can the maror be eaten? And you have matzah and you have Korban Pesach. So in today's day and age, we don't have Korban Pesach. In fact, they're not even allowed to eat meat on the night of Pesach, according to some opinions, at least not roasted meat. And certainly not the meat that's coming to represent the Korban Pesach on the Ka'ara, on the Seder plate. So how do we eat the Maror? All by itself. Then we have a sandwich. That's not biblical. In today's day and age, that's rabbinic. It's called the rabbinic mitzvah. It can't be minhag because you make a bracha. We say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, al achilat maror. Yeah, but so where did God command that? He never commanded us to eat maror alone. Well, he never commanded us to listen to the Megillah, and we make a bracha. He never commanded us to light the menorah, we make a bracha. He never commanded us to wash our hands before we eat bread, and we make a bracha. Why? So there are a number of explanations. The most famous explanation, why we use this, because God commanded us to listen to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, we have a mitzvah, a positive and a negative mitzvah. K'chol asher yerucha, as they will show you, and lo tasur min adavar, do not turn away from the words they tell you. So therefore, ultimately, if the Sanhedrin tells you, and you're listening, you're obeying the Sanhedrin, who you really listen to ultimately?
Hashem.
Ultimately, it becomes ultimately the fulfillment of a biblical mitzvah. But there is no biblical mitzvah called maror. That is what we call a mitzvah midrabanon. So first we should have a biblical mitzvah. That's logical. Talk about the most important. Secondary importance is a rabbinic mitzvah. What would be of the third? The third would be mesubin. Why mesubin? Besides the fact that mesubin is a halacha, and according to many opinions, if you didn't lean, you have to drink your cups of wine over again. At least the second cup over again, that is. The idea of mesubin is to express via our posture, chayrut, freedom. Everything on the night of Pesach is supposed to scream freedom. The way we eat, the way we recline, the way we behave, the way we set the table, everything is supposed to have the same broadcast, the same message. So this is what we would call an overarching message that punctuates the entirety of the Seder, or should punctuate the entirety of the Seder. So if it punctuates the entirety of the Seder, that should be the third thing. The first question is biblical. Next is a rabbinic mitzvah. The third is something which is not a detail in the Seder, but rather something which is in a broad Seder context. And then last should come matbilin. Matbilin is not biblical. Matbilin dipping is not rabbinic. Matbilin is not something which punctuates the entirety of the Seder. It's a detail. A detail. An important detail. A detail. And really and truly, largely, at least the first matbilin is just to get the kids to ask questions. That's really what it's about. So if so, how did that question end up being first? It seems totally out of order. And the Rebbe suggests that there is an extremely important and profound message that is being conveyed to us in the order of the Manashtana. It's reasonable to say that the central theme of the night of Pesach, in addition to freedom, is education. This is the official night in which we pass on our traditions to the next generation. V'higadat alevincha. This is it. And ever since when? The Jewish people have always sat at a Seder on Seder night. Pesach night, they've always sat together. And there's always been generations that united around the table. And there's always been things being conveyed from one generation to the next, ever since the beginning. In fact, the first Seder happened the night before we left Egypt. There are more Jews who attend a Seder than attend a Kol Nidre service. Significantly more Jews. In Israel, I think the number that was released 3 years ago was something to the tune of over 90%. That's incredible. Over 90% of Jews will sit at a Seder. We're talking about a nation that tragically, well, not in Israel, but outside of Israel, in some parts of the United States, assimilation and intermarriage, I say, is over 74%. It's crazy. And that's because you're putting in all the frum numbers. Okay. If you took out the frum numbers, it's like insane numbers. And yet, there's this extraordinarily high level of people that are attending a Seder. Now, mind you, a lot of these Sederim are tragically out of whack, right? Like, they're eating chocolate-covered matzah, or not reciting the Haggadah, or eating chrein, you know, like with beets instead of bitter herbs. I don't know and they're eating it, they're doing it before the Seder is supposed to happen, right? They finish the Seder as the sun's going down, which is tragic because they didn't accomplish anything. It's not a Seder. But it's beautiful. They still want to have a Seder. Still feel connected. Most Jews want to be somewhere Pesach night. And the real essence of this night is we have to pass on the message. Pass it on to our children so that someday they will pass it on to their children. So this is all about the children, the grandchildren. This is all about reaching out to a fellow youth who's lost. We bring the Ben HaRashi, we bring the wicked child to the table. The Rebbe used to talk about the child who doesn't come to the table. We have to worry about him too. The fifth child, just like the fifth question that got lost, there's a fifth child that got lost. And we have to be concerned about the fifth child. One of our goals on Seder night is bringing a fifth child into the Seder. Not only he doesn't know how to ask, Not only he's not agnostic and angry, he's not there. That too is an issue for us. Okay. So, and the whole idea of manishtana, specifically, the whole Seder is about education. The whole idea of the manishtana is to make sure that education happens right. Because probably the most important principle in pedagogy is not that children should be spoken at, but that children should be engaged. The most important thing is they should ask a question. If they ask a question, it's their thing. If you're just giving them a monologue, it's your thing. When you're just talking, they're like, when is it over? When they ask the question, I'm interested. This is my question. I want to know the answer. And so the Rebbe maintained that on this night in which education reigns supreme, on this night where we emphasize more so than anything else the importance of engaging the next generation, the first question has to be matbilin. Why? Because the most important thing to emphasize is not the big mitzvahs, the biblical mitzvahs. Everybody does the biblical mitzvahs. A lot of people do the rabbinic mitzvahs. The most important thing to emphasize is the customs. It is the customs of the Jewish people that are the vanguard of the integrity of our tradition. If the customs are stripped away, then eventually everything is laid bare. And therefore, if the emphasis is placed on the customs, on the minhag that we do, and we keep our minhag carefully, everything else is in place. Lots of people will tell you, I do the big stuff. That's the problem. Because when you only do the big stuff, and you let all the little stuff fall by the wayside, in the end, there's nothing left. If we emphasize, we put a dagesh, put a strong emphasis on customs, what happens is everything else stays in place. And the Rebbe says, the Manashtana is teaching us as parents and adults, as responsible members of the Jewish people, is the importance of Minhagei Yisrael, the customs of Israel. Minhag Yisrael, say the Baalei HaTosfos, a custom of the Jewish people of Israel, Torahi. That's Torah. It's not something we say, just a custom. There are no just customs. And by being careful about customs, and by emphasizing customs. And yes, it's true, a lot of children come to the Seder, they didn't get provoked into asking the question, they learned the question before. They know we're supposed to ask a question. And all of us sitting around the table, we're also going to ask this question. We're gonna silently chant this question before we go on to Avadim Hayinu and the answer and telling the story. But the message that's being conveyed to us on this night of education is how important it is for us to emphasize Minhagi Yisrael, the customs, and with Hashem's help, as long as we emphasize our customs, our Minhagim, and we stand by those Minhagim, we guard those Minhagim, and we ensure they're passed on to the next generation, along with Minhagim come overarching messages, along with Minhagim comes the fulfillment and the authenticity of mitzvahs derabanan, and certainly the mitzvahs aseh min ha-Torah, the positive mitzvahs that we have to perform. And this way, our Judaism remains whole, intact, and not only we survive, but we triumph, because hopefully very, very soon Mashiach will come, and we'll be able to greet him with the generations that were raised far away from the source of tradition and custom, but who have continued to maintain it throughout the challenges of Galut. And with that, Amir Hashem, we will experience Geula v'Yeshua all over again with the coming of Mashiach b'mheira, will be Amenu. Amen. You gotta finish it.